And the more the kids sing, the more they get used to being up here singing when they get adults. Amen? It's good teaching. It's good training for them. But it's just good to hear a kid sing. You know, if you can get a kid to sing, you can usually have a good inroad into his Christian life. And singing is an important thing, good thing. And we used to always sing in our home. Bible doesn't say you have to sing great, but it does say make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Amen? This is a Wednesday night crowd. I'm going to have a tough time tonight. Amen? Mark, in your Bibles, the book of Mark, chapter number 5, please. Go with me there. The book of Mark and chapter number 5. And I want to speak to you on the subject here tonight in the Bible where we're going to look. This passage of Scripture is Jesus dealing with a tough case. He's dealing with a tough case. And I've entitled the message tonight, Jesus and the Tough Case. Now, I want to tell you, we live in a world today where there's tough cases out there. Have you ever met any tough cases? You know, when we were on our missions trip, when we went on our missions trip to New Mexico, we went through and we stopped at a little town that didn't have a church, 40 miles away. And we went to that little town and tried to cover probably most of that town with gospel tracts, knocked the doors, because I just wanted us to, I wanted them to know somebody cared about that little town, and somebody cared even though they didn't have a church within probably 40 miles. And so we picked that little town right there, and we're knocking doors, led a man to the Lord, one guy right in the street there. But also, I talked to a fellow who was sitting on a chair, and boy, I tell you what, there was something got over me. I just wanted to convince that guy of the Lord Jesus. Has that ever come over you? And this guy was a tough case, and boy, he was giving me one excuse after another. And I got to the point, I think I talked to that guy for about 45 minutes. And you know what? I realized when I got done, I realized that it was going to have to be the Lord Jesus that worked on that man's heart. And in the passage that we are going to look at tonight, we're going to see how Jesus deals with tough cases to help us in life as we deal with people that are tough against the Lord. Let's begin Mark chapter 5, please, in your Bibles, verse number 1. Let's begin there tonight. Notice it says, "And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broke in pieces, neither could any man tame him." Now, does that sound like a tough case to you? I think it does to me. Verse 5, "And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee, by God, that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there were nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea, and there were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil, and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to them that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Let's pray tonight. Lord, we love you tonight. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your blessings. And Lord, thank you again for an opportunity to hear and preach the Word of God tonight. We just pray that God, the Word of God, would be rich to our souls tonight. That, Lord, you give us what we need. And Lord, I pray that tonight you'd use this particular message to be a help, be an encouragement, Lord, today as we meet people, have a desire to meet people, and so many people are like this man, a tough case, a difficult situation. And Lord, we look at how you handled him tonight. And so, Lord, we pray you'll bless it tonight. Help us as we look at this passage of Scripture to glean the truths that we find in it tonight for our strength and for your glory. And we'll pray this tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want you to notice in this passage of Scripture that this man, there's something interesting about this man. And I want you to notice the outline tonight. First of all, I want you to see, there was a quick confrontation with the tough case. Now, notice verse 1 and 2 tell us here that Jesus had just come over from the country of the Gadarenes, and he gets off a ship right here in verse number 2. When he gets right off a ship, immediately, the Bible says, see that word, immediately? Immediately, there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Now, picture here, Jesus gets off of the ship. He's getting ready to come and teach and preach. And all of a sudden, this wild and crazy man comes up to him. We know that chains could not hold the guy. I don't know what he was doing, or maybe he was on something. I don't know. But the Bible says that this man was chained and the chains plucked off of him. He was a wild man. He was a tough case. And so here Jesus gets off of the ship, and immediately right in front of his face is this tough case. This man, and the Bible says he wasn't clothed, because when Jesus made a change in his life, then he got clothes on. By the way, there's a good point right there, amen. When Jesus makes a difference in your life, man, something changes about even your clothing. Amen. Boy, that's a good one. Preach that one, Brother Larson. Amen, preacher, that's good. Thank you, brother, I appreciate that. Yeah, hey, notice the condition of this tough case. First of all, I want you to see he was met with a confrontation. Boom, right in front of him was this wild man. Now, has that ever happened to you? Never happened to you where someone crazy just appears, pops in front of you? It's shocking, isn't it? It's like, whoa, where'd you come from? I can give you a few illustrations tonight about that, but I'll save those for another message. Amen. But Jesus gets off the ship, and there's this wild, crazy man. Now, what do you think Jesus did? Do you think Jesus pushed him aside? You know, the Bible doesn't say that the disciples or anyone with him went up to him, tried to talk to him. But Jesus was interested in that man, wasn't he? Jesus did not leave the man alone. It says, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. who had his dwelling among the tombs. No man could bind him, no, not with chains. Jesus saw the confrontation of this man. Now notice, secondly, the condition of this tough case. Notice the condition, verse 4. Because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. He was a wild man. He was uncontrollable. He did not have any ability to control himself. Can I tell you, look at verse 5, look at the rest of it. And this leads me to point number 3. See the hopelessness of this tough case man. Look at the hopelessness, verse 5. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Well, that's a hopeless situation. This is a man who had been so full of sin and the devil in his life that he didn't want to even live anymore. He was cutting himself. You know, I believe there's a lot of people in this world who even go to suicide or contemplate suicide as a way of getting off of the guilt of their sin and their burden. They want the guilt off of their heart. Can I tell you what? If they meet Jesus, they can find the answer to the guilt. Amen. See, God, who knows and knows where that man has been, he still had a heavenly compassion for him. Oh, thank God for Jesus. Thank God that Jesus has a compassion for us. Thank God if he had a compassion for this man, he had a kindness for him. He was crazy. He was cutting himself with stones. By the way, though, let me tell you something. Jesus didn't come to heal those that are whole. He said, the whole need not a physician. Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. Amen. The tougher the case, the more it pictures that that person is lost. That's right. And away from Christ. And if they're lost, that is what they need, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Tough cases. The hopelessness of the tough case. There's a lot of hopeless people living in our world today. A lot of hopeless people. And instead of shunning them, Jesus had a compassion on them. And you know why he had compassion on them? Because he knew that their problem was sin, and that he was the remedy for that sin. That's what he knew. You know, the blessed thing about Jesus is that there is no one that has to live hopeless. Amen. You say, now wait a minute. What if a person's done some bad things in life and they begin to feel the guilt of it? Can I tell you, Jesus answered that situation, situations like that, by saying and explaining to us that he is willing to forgive any and all of our sin. He's willing. He's willing to do that. Saturday, we're going to go out and meet some people. There might be a few tough cases. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. We had a tough case crack a little bit this past Sunday. Amen. We had a guy come to church on Sunday. We've been praying for, and after church, he came to church and felt, you know, real strange at church because you're not used to it, you know. And we try to make him feel welcome, but you know, sometimes when a person's not in church, they just kind of feel uncomfortable no matter what, you know. But and then afterwards, shook his hand. He said, "I was glad I came to church today, but don't expect me to come back next week." Amen. I said, well, you're welcome, and this is the place where you should be. Amen. He should be in church, because church is where real love of God's people should come through. Amen. And by the way, but for the grace of God, we'd be like this man right here. It's just the grace of God that God allowed you and me to be in the situation that you're in that caused you and I to get saved. That's just the goodness and the grace of God. And God wants to do that for even people like this guy, the tough case, the hopelessness. There's a word in verse 5 I want you to see. Notice verse 5. It said, "And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs." Now, what's the next word? Crying. Crying. Can I tell you that this man had a hopelessness inside? He was longing for something in his life. He was longing for something different. He was longing, and he did not know what it was. He had no way of knowing until Jesus came by. He had no way of knowing. This world tries everything, and it only causes them deeper into sin, deeper into hopelessness. And you know what they end up doing? They're really crying. And you know, behind these confident faces that we see in the world, don't be fooled. A lot of them, when they're alone, there's a cry in their soul. There's a cry in their soul. You know, that man in Macedonia in the book of Acts, where God spoke to Paul and said, "Go over into Macedonia and help that one." He was a man that was crying for someone to come and tell him about the Lord. I believe there's people like that out there. Brother Trimble and I were knocking doors just right down the street years ago. It was his turn to talk. He knocked on the door. He began to introduce himself, and he asked the lady, he said, "Ma'am, do you know if you died today, you'd go to heaven?" And immediately the lady began to cry. Just began to cry. And you know what? When that happens, you know there's some kind of weight or burden or trouble that is just overwhelming her. And Brother Trimble talked to her about the Lord. She prayed the sinner's prayer that day. She got saved, trusted Christ. And I'll tell you what, when you find Christ, no matter what the tough case is, there is a cry of the soul. Because I don't care who you are, and I don't care how tough a person is on the outside, when a person's in sin, there's a hopelessness there, there's a guilt there. If there's a conscience, there's a guilt. And they do not like themselves. And they're crying out. They're crying out. They don't know the cure. They don't know that there is a real cure. And that there is a fulfilling joy, a fulfilling cure in their life. They don't know it. They don't know it. Or if they do know it, they've put it aside in their mind time and time again, time and time again, until they got to a place where they're just like seeking for anything that they can grab onto. I think that's why a lot of people go to the bottle. I think that's why a lot of people go to drugs. I think that's why a lot of people go to lust and ungodly things, because they are hoping to find some kind of joy in these things, but really down in their soul, they're crying. Amen. They're crying. They're not happy. Tough cases. He was crying, and then notice, he was cutting himself with stones, verse 5. Why would you cut yourself with stones? Well, because guilt could be so bad, or you don't like yourself. And I knew a young teenage girl one time that was in a very deep hole, depressed state, and she'd take a razor blade and cut her own skin. How sad. Let me tell you something. There is hope in the forgiveness and the loving hand of Jesus Christ in the lives of people. And don't be fooled, the tough case has a cry. The tough case has a cry. It may come out in rebellion. It may come out in anger. You don't know how it comes out sometimes. Sometimes it comes out as hating the real answer. Because isn't that what that man did to Jesus, who was his answer? He looked at him and he said, what do I have to do with you, Jesus? In other words, why are you here? Why are you bothering me? I'm in this awful situation. And can I tell you what? When you go knock doors and meet people, knock doors, I want to tell you something. There's a lot of people who reject and hate God, but when you shut that door and they go back to their home and you go on to the next door, I want to tell you something. There's still a cry that goes on in that home. There's still a cry. And Jesus knows it. Because Jesus knows unless you have him, you don't have peace. Unless you have Christ in your life, you're going to be miserable. Jesus knew the tough cases. You know, God can crack the tough case. It is amazing what unconditional love of God can do to the tough case. It's amazing. The unconditional love of God. There was a guy, a well-known agnostic named T.H. Huxley. He was with a group of men on a weekend house party. And on Sunday morning, while most of them were preparing to go to church, he approached a man known for his Christian character. And he said, suppose you stay home and tell me why you are a Christian. The man, knowing that he couldn't match wits with Huxley, hesitated. But the agnostic said gently, I don't want to argue with you. I just want you to tell me simply what this Christ means to you. And the man did. And when he finished, there were tears in Huxley's eyes, the well-known and well-speaking agnostic. He said, quote, I would give my right hand if only I could believe that. It goes to show us, folks, in life that the tough cases are not always tough cases. They've learned to put up a wall, thinking that putting up the wall to Jesus is the answer. No. And you know, God has to get people really way down low. Like one preacher said, he said, sometimes God's got to get you lower than a snake's belt buckle in a wagon rut. That's pretty low. Sometimes God's got to get a person really, really, really low. And right at the point where they give up to God because they can't fight him anymore. That's a sweet place. That's a wonderful place. And wouldn't it be a blessing to be the person who knocked on the door right when that happened? Hallelujah. Amen. Boy, I've known different people who have different testimonies in life, how they fought God in different things. And man, I tell you what, it's a blessing. I think of Brother Joe back there, just in how God worked in his life to get him saved. Amen. And preacher tried to come up and get him saved on his porch. He chased him off, ran him off. Don't mess with Brother Joe, folks. Amen. Don't mess with him. Well, finally, one day, he can tell his testimony better than me. But finally, one day, he gave in to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Got saved and trophy of God's grace. Amen. So I'm saying to you tonight that Jesus knows the real need of the tough case. And that the tough case really is not as tough as we think, because many of them are crying. They're crying for somebody to come and to care about them. There was once an ungodly man, and he was lecturing on the fraudulence of Christianity. And after he got done speaking, the meeting was open for questions. And after a short pause, a man who was well known in that city as a former alcoholic, but who had in recent months become a Christian, he stepped to the front of the auditorium, he took an orange from his pocket, and he proceeded to peel it, saying nothing. Now the lecturer, visibly irritated, demanded that the man get on with his question. But still the man said nothing. He just peeled the orange and started eating it. When he had finished, he turned to the speaker and he said, "Was this orange sweet or was it sour?" "How should I know, you idiot?" said the infidel. "I didn't even taste it." To which the converted alcoholic replied, "Then how can you know anything about Jesus Christ if you never tried him?" How can you know anything about Jesus until you tried him? Let me show you number five. Notice the hunger of the tough case. Verse 7. "And cried with a loud voice and said, 'What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not.'" He cried with a loud voice. "Leave me alone." You know, the world has it the opposite. They think Jesus is there to do them harm and that the world is there to do them good. But look at this man's life. He was never with Jesus before. He was only in the world. And what did the world do to him? The world sent his mind and his body messed up, and he lived this hard, tough case life, a man running around without any clothes on in this situation. But he really had a hunger deep down in his soul. And I say to you today, go after the hunger in a person's soul. Go after a hunger in a person's soul. There's a man named Charles Braidlaw. He was an ungodly man, and he once challenged a preacher to a debate. The preacher's name was H.P. Hughes. He was the head of a rescue mission in London, and he accepted the challenge with the condition that he could bring with him 100 men and women who would tell what had happened in their lives since trusting Christ as their Savior. They would be people who once lived in deep sin, some having come from poverty-stricken homes caused by the vices of their own parents. Hughes said that they would not only tell of their conversion, but submit to cross-examination by anyone who doubted their story. Furthermore, the preacher invited his opponent to bring a group of non-believers who would tell how they were helped by their lack of faith. And when the appointed day arrived, the preacher came accompanied by 100 transformed people, but Braidlaw never even showed up. The result was that the meeting turned into a time of testimonies, and people who had gathered to hear the scheduled debate were saved. What a blessing. You see, God has an answer for the hunger of man. You know, there's something inside of a lot of people that just tries to put God off. "I'm too busy. I got things going on in my life. My schedule's full. I don't have time for God." But can I tell you what? Little by little, they drift further and further from God until there's a cry in their heart, until there's a brokenness in their life, until they have nowhere to turn, and life starts unraveling, divorce starts happening, and people start turning against them, and things in their life start really going bad. And that's when they find that person in the workplace who knows the Lord Jesus Christ. That's when they know him. Years ago, when I first came to Moore, I had to work a job. I worked at Walmart down here. And there was a lady down there, and she was a known homosexual. And boy, she was proud of it. And, you know, I looked for opportunities to witness to that lady. But boy, I'll tell you what, it wasn't easy. And I'll never forget one time, after working there a little more than a year, she came up to me, and she had to leave work early, and she worked back in the milk, and she said, "Hey, can you stack my milk for me? I'm going to be gone a few hours." I said, "Sure, I'd be glad to." I took her milk out and stacked it up, and, you know, got it all out on the shelves where people can grab milk. And she came back to me the next day and she said, hey, thank you so much for doing that. You really did a good job. And there was a connection that I was trying to get to be able to talk to her. And I thank the Lord for that. Because one day, hear me, one day my phone rang and this lady called me and she was in tears. Her life, she knew she was messed up. And she called me and she said, I don't know what to do. Everything in my life is unraveling. Well, praise the Lord. God got them to the place where everything was unraveling. Amen? Because they wouldn't listen to God before then. They weren't interested before then. They put up the wall to Jesus. Jesus, torment me not. Please leave me alone. When it's the exact opposite. But I'll tell you what, she was in tears. You know what I told her? I said, listen, God loves you and he wants you to come to him and get your life right back with God. And you know what she said? She said, I know. I know. As far as I know, she didn't. She never has. I don't know. She left the place and lost contact. But she knows. She knows that she needs to be right with God. See, the world thinks that Jesus is her enemy, but he is not the enemy. He is the one that gave his life for them, that they can trust him. Number 8, notice the power for the unclean man. Look at verse number 13. And forthwith, who gave them leave? Jesus. Jesus saw this guy full of devils. He said, all right, devils, get out of him. That is the answer. Is when Jesus comes in, washes the sin away, and the devils leave. That's the answer. Amen? Thank the Lord. And there's power in that. And notice what happened. And the unclean spirits, verse 13, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. Man. Jesus cast out those devils from him. And they ran down to the sea. Choked themselves. Well, there's power in the words of Jesus. There's power. You open this old black book up and just preach it. Preach the word. And I want you to know, there's going to be some power in this. As humans, there's no power in us. But if we preach the word, that's where the power of God is. It's in his word. So I say to you tonight, thank God for the word. Thank God that there is power in the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice also, if you would, lastly here tonight, the peace that came inside the tough case. Look at verse 15. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. Look at what Jesus did for this man. He gave him peace in his life. Before, he was running around crazy, right? But now what's he doing? He's sitting still. He's sitting still. He's clothed and he's in his right mind. You know, Jesus cures the mind when he saves people. He cures the mind. And you know what? There was a new peace that took over in the heart and the life of this man. I want you to know that the tough case, they may not really be the tough case after all. They may reject you. They may put up that wall. And they may think that you're there to hurt them or harm them. Because the devil is always going to twist what Jesus does. He's going to try to make Jesus look like the bad guy and make him look like the good guy. And I want to tell you something. There's a lot of twisted minds in our world. A lot of twisted minds. Only Jesus can give you peace. Only Jesus brought this man happiness. Only Jesus could give him joy and peace. Only Jesus could make him sit still. Only Jesus could put clothes back on him. Only Jesus could put him in his right mind. Only Jesus could do that. And you know what? We're going to meet tough cases that you may not be able to convince. But you never know, when you hand them that track, what they do with that track. Because when they're behind that door and they're crying because things in life are depleting and their relationships are fizzling and their problems are just going apart. They take the bottle now and take more dope and thinking it's going to make it better, and it only makes things worse in their life. Those are opportunities that the Lord Jesus can reach in with the track and do wonderful things. When I was pastoring in Oregon, a man sent me a letter with a gospel track, and it had the church stamp on it from Oregon. And this man was in a prison in Florida. He got a gospel track with our church stamp, and he sent the track back to show me, and he wrote a letter how he got saved in a prison in Florida. I asked the whole church, I said, has anybody been to a prison in Florida? I was like, if you were, you wouldn't admit it, right? Right? But no, nobody in the church knew how that gospel tract got all the way to Florida in a prison. But it did. And it reached that one man for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you something. The Word of God is powerful to reach. It is the cure for the man behind the door that's crying, for that lady who's behind the door and searching for joy and happiness and peace in her life. It is the answer. Christ is the answer. He is the peace of mind that God can give, and only Jesus can give. There was an atheist who was in a market one day, and he challenged God to show his power by striking him dead in 5 minutes. 5 minutes went by, and the following, the tense delay, the man said to his audience, "What did I tell you? What did I tell you? God didn't strike me dead. There must not be a God." An old woman was standing by, and she said, "Sir, do you have any children?" "Well, why?" "Well," said the woman, "if one of your children handed you a knife and said, 'Kill me, Daddy,' would you do it?" "Why, no," said the astonished man. "I love them too much." "That's exactly why God did not strike you dead," said the woman. "He loves you too much." He loves you too much. I say to you tonight that there are people in deep holes in life, and there the answer is the Lord Jesus Christ. If they won't let you talk to them, get them a gospel track. Show them the love of Christ. Show them that someone cares, because when they're in that state, they don't think anybody cares. And it's not true. The Lord Jesus does. And we are his ambassadors on this earth. They may never see Jesus. The only Jesus that they may see is the Christ in you and me. That's all they may ever see. But let's let them see it. Let's bring them to Jesus, who took this man and took him in a rotten state and changed his life and made him a new man. And can I tell you tonight, we got to remember, whenever we're talking to people, hard cases, they may get offensive sometime. They may get ugly. But I want you to know something. Deep in their heart, there's still a longing for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, even the atheist, when it looks like they're going to have a car accident, cries out, "Oh, God!" Yeah. Even the atheist does that. You know what? We got to remember something. Jesus is the cure and Jesus is the answer. Let's bring them to the Lord Jesus as best we can. Amen. Amen. The tough case. Let's bow our heads tonight.